liberty in Christ Jesus. And the first thought that will come to our minds is the bondage under which the Jewish nation was subjected to, trying to justify themselves by works, by keeping the law. As we all know, it was a vain effort. They were not able to do it due to their imperfections, and also that the law is perfect and cannot be kept by imperfect men. And we read, as we know, the Apostle Paul gives us the reason, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, the Apostle Paul refers to here of his being under the law, and is speaking or writing to those who were trying to keep the law, and they were not able to be justified by it. His epistle to the Galatians is on the subject considerably, because they were trying also to be justified by works instead of by faith. To them, the Apostle Paul in Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 1st verse, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Of course, this, to us, it's a matter of not importance, because we were not under the law, and none of us ever thought of being able to be justified by keeping the law. But how many of us ever thought to be thankful to the Lord for being freed from the bondage of superstition and works that will never bring us any closer to God under the different denominations that we were been born and raised? Of course, not all of us were under the same yoke, like I was born under the Greek Orthodox Church. What to eat played an important part, particularly 40 days before Christmas and 60 days before Easter, and no meat at all in those days. And also, so many times to bow before the images we had, so many times to repeat, God have mercy, and all those things. There were rituals keeping us in bondage without any benefit at all. Those things, brethren, we are to be grateful that the Lord has rescued us, made us free. But how many of us ever give it a thought that the bondage which all the whole world, regardless of denomination, are subjected to, in what this call habits of the fallen human nature? And we are all acquainted with us, and maybe some of those imperfections may be still with us. One is prejudice, another selfishness, hatred, fear, superstition, or following the course of this world as it changes on and on, not for better but for worse, in the habits and styles as we see them around us, about whom the Apostle Paul tells us not to conform to the world. In Romans 12, chapter and 2nd verses, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let us examine ourselves, brethren. Are we free to stand by ourselves, separate from the world, holding our convictions and applying what is the will of the Lord in our lives? It is not what the world thinks. It is not what our friends and possibly relatives will think about us. Rather, we should always think, what is the acceptable will of God? We also, brethren, know about the bondage of the world that is subjected to, and that is death. And in Romans, the 8th chapter, and the 20th and the 21st verse, we read, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Now this, the Apostle Paul speaks of the ultimate redemption and deliverance of the world from the conditions in which Father Adam is subjected to death. Nothing is permanent, and all is vain. And only things that are to us of value is what is the will of God in which we are called. Now in Titus, again I will come to the thoughts of the imperfections which we have inherited. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God, of our Savior towards men appeared." And as a result, brethren, we have been redeemed, rescued. Now, whatever it is in this world, brethren, let us remember it is not permanent, will pass away. For the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter and the 31st verse, "And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." Now we may include this, practically everything that this world is accustomed to as a way of life. I don't mean, brethren, what we eat, no, but how we conduct ourselves has a lot to do. How we dress ourselves has a lot to do. How we behave is important. The Apostle Paul again in Romans, the 8th chapter, the 20th verse, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. There is nothing else in this world but hope. There is nothing permanent in this world. All eventually will pass away. Now, we have before us something that God has given us and which we call hope. But also the rules that we are to subject ourselves to comply with, that we may be able finally to attain this hope that is set before us. Now, let us realize there is nothing that is such a thing as permanent liberty or complete liberty for any of us here. The Apostle Paul in Romans, the 6th chapter, the 16th and to the 18th verses, we read, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And on this point, brethren, I'd like to dwell considerably this evening. We speak about liberty in Christ Jesus, and what does it mean for us? Such a thing as liberty that we can go on and say what we want to, do what we want to, there is no such. None of us is free to that extent that we can do as we please. Yes, the apostle, rather our Lord Jesus, in Matthew the 6th chapter and the 24th verse, we read, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and serve the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." Suppose one might pop up and say, "Well, I won't serve none. I will go somewhere and be neutral." No, brethren, you will not find a neutral corner anywhere we can go and not serve anybody. Today, we're either serving God or mammon. We're either doing the will of God or that of Satan. It may not be a pleasant expression, a cheerful one. There is no such thing, brethren, as a freedom. We call it liberty in Christ Jesus only to the extent to do good. Nothing else. You remember the Israelites coming out of Egypt? They were free from the bondage of the Egyptians, but they became slaves to the law. In other words, they did not obey the law of the Egyptians, being slaves there and doing what the Egyptians wanted to, and yet they accepted to obey God's law and were subjected to keep it and conform to it. Let us realize we are not free to go anywhere we please. May sound strange expression, but that, brethren, what it is. We cannot read anything we choose to read, we want to read. We cannot say whatever we want to. There isn't anything without first subjecting it to the will of the law. I have a poem that came to my possession quite a few years ago. I copied it and I put it in my notebook, and I will read it to you. It's in harmony with what I'm trying to present to you this evening. "Unto him who loved me and gave himself for me, may this be my aim in all I say and do. When you think, when you speak, when you read, when you write, when you sing, when you walk, when you seek for delight, to be kept from all evil at home and abroad, live always as under the eye of the Lord. Whatever you think, both in joy and in woe, think nothing you will not like Jesus to know. Whatever you say in a whisper or clear, say nothing you will not like Jesus to hear. Whatever you read, though the page may allure, read nothing in which you are perfectly sure. Consternation at once will be seen in your look if God should say solemnly, 'Show me that book.' Whatever you write in haste or in heat, write nothing you will not like Jesus to read. Whatever you sing in the midst of your glee, sing nothing that God's listening ear will displease. Wherever you go, never go where you fear. God's question then ask you, 'What dost thou hear?' whatever the pastime in which you engage, for the cheating of youth or the solace of age, turn away from each pleasure, you'll shrink from pursuing, were God to look down and say, what are you doing? Now, brethren, this includes all, wasn't it? Our thoughts, our words, our doings. We're always to live as under the eye of the Lord. It is true, brethren, that we are all serving according to our convictions. Yes, and it is natural that we will act or behave in harmony with what we believe. And there is also, lies therein the great danger. All the denominations around us, they are acting according to their faith. It is therefore, brethren, necessary that our faith is based on the Word of God, that we clearly discern what is the will of God, that we apply it into our lives. In harmony with this, brethren, I'd like to bring to your attention an experience that I had a few years ago in a convention that was held in Pennsylvania by another group of brethren. I heard of one of my nationality that I have known him from Greece, was there at that convention. He moved from Greece to Canada. And I thought of meeting him and have a discussion with him. So the only way that I could see him was to attend this convention for a day. And I went there. But when I was there, I met another one whom I knew from his young boyhood days in New England. And he was one of the speakers at that convention. And we sit down in discussion things of the Bible. In our discussion, he was always expressing himself, we of the free brethren, and we of the free brethren. Repeatedly, he would say this. I said, now hold it, brother. You speak about yourselves being the free brethren. What do you think we are, slaves to somebody? And he says, yeah. He says, you are slaves. You believe, he says, blindly what Pastor Russell taught. I said, hold it. I want a proof of that. Oh, he says, you believe what Pastor Russell taught, that the ransom was not complete to redeem the world, and the church is adding to his value of the merit. I said, by that expression that you made, you prove you have not read Pastor Russell. Because if there was a man that revealed clearly the meaning of the word ransom, was Pastor Russell. I said, you haven't read his books, did you? And he had to admit it, brethren, that he did not read them. Because there is a chapter in the fifth volume dealing on the ransom. And there, Brother Russell clearly stated that the ransom was complete. A perfect man sinned, a perfect man died for him, and as sin entered by one man, life will come by another. Now the thought is this, brethren. He thought he was free. That's why he called himself the free brethren. Free means liberty also, that they were at liberty. They were not bound to anything. And yet he was totally slave to, shall we say, doctrines that are not true, accusations against Brother Russell and the rest of the brethren who accepted the volumes and so forth. And that shows, brethren, that we have to be careful while we claim that we are free. We are not subjected to our own likes and dislikes or following other men's ideas. Now, what happened also with the rest of the society with calling themselves JWs today? Let us wait, brethren, and see how one can be in bondage. You cannot think right either. If you ever encounter one of them and try to explain the true plan of God, you will find a solid wall of hard to penetrate, because their convictions are so close them in that you cannot get to them. It is therefore, brethren, that for us to be free is to stand in the liberty in which Christ has made us free. How we look at upon another. If we have preconceived ideas, convictions about one, and we come in contact with them or with her, we will judge them according to our convictions. We're not free to understand them. Liberty in Christ Jesus, brethren, it means that we face each one as we go along, forming opinions as we come along in conversation, observing their actions and words, and not be preconceived, prejudged before we meet anyone. I mentioned a little bit ago also that the prejudice, superstition, jealousies are all abundant. If you want to hear what other fellow has, or one to be what the other fellow is, that is bondage also. We also have imperfections. We call them the works of the flesh. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, 19th, 20th, and 21st verse, we read, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of the which I tell you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Well, you may say, brethren, what you read there will not apply to us. No, I agree with you, brethren, not all of them, I hope. Naturally, not murders, nor drunkenness, revelings, and fornications. No, I hope not. But hatred, wrath, strife, heresies, they are a part which sometimes can creep into us without realizing it. And there are a slavery. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 17th verse, we read, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Let us look in this verse for a few moments. Let us look where this is located and what caused the Apostle Paul to utter these words. This is the 3rd chapter of 2 Corinthians. There the Apostle Paul brings to our attention the experience of Moses up in the mountain when he went to receive the law. There he stood for 40 days and No doubt he has seen some of the glory of God. And when he came down with the law, his face was shining. And the Israelites were not able to look at his face. And he had to put a cover on his face to speak to the people, because his face was shining so brightly that the Israelites could not see him. The Apostle Paul brings this experience of Moses and applies it to us in this life, a consecrated life. What the lesson is was there, that when Moses was up in the mountain, he was viewing the glory of God and with an uncovered face. The result was that his face then was transformed and was shining brightly. When he came down, the Israelites could not look at him, and he had to cover his face. The Apostle Paul applies this to us today, for in the 18th verse following this, it says, "We now with an open face are beholding the glory of God. We are transformed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, where, brethren, do we today are beholding the glory of God? The answer would be in the Bible and in the persons of our brethren that we come in contact with, as they reflect to a certain measure the glory of God. What will hinder us from seeing the glory of God in the Bible? Human doctrines, human theories, convictions which have formed and accepted by us that they are not supported by the Word of God. And in the brethren, depending on our viewpoint, what we think of them. Sometimes we have somehow the wrong opinion of one. He may reflect the glory of God in his life considerably. And yet, if you are prejudiced, if you think wrong about him, you look at him and you see nothing good. You look at him or her and prejudge him and you see nothing good. You're not free to evaluate, to see. The Apostle Paul, in this verse and in harmony with this, it's exactly along this line of thought of being transformed from glory to glory, that inserted these words, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And where is the Lord, brethren? Where is His Spirit? You remember what the Lord said, "Wherever are two or three gathered in my name, there will I be also." Then, in our meetings, it will depend on us how much blessing we receive from the Bible study that we have and the fellowship of the brethren. Are we free when we get together to express ourselves fully? Or are we afraid how to behave lest we be misunderstood? And how often that happens, brethren. We get together and we are afraid we'll be misunderstood. If I say this, and if I do this, if I express my opinion on a subject, they may take me wrong. So some of the brethren, they feel it is better to be quiet than say anything, because it's liable to be misunderstood. What does this reveal, brethren? That there is no liberty, is there? Well, the Apostle Paul says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now we are all to feel free, brethren, to express ourselves to the best of our ability. Although in expressing our shibboleths may not be to the satisfaction of all, and yet we must do our best to express ourselves and show what we are. It is in this spirit, in this manner, that we will develop one another in the most holy faith. In this gathering of the Lord's people, there is a certain amount of obligations that we must not overlook them. The Apostle Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 10th verse. Now listen to this, to these words, brethren, because it applies to all of us if we want to imitate him and follow his footsteps, because he was a good example to all of us. For in 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 10, verse, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." What a thought this verse contains. It says, "Though I be free from all." This word, "man," is not in the original, but it is manifested or implied. "Though I be free from all men, yet I made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more." Are we free then, brethren? We are free to serve the Lord and to serve one another. There is no law against that, and that is the freedom. There is no limit set how far we can go in serving the Lord. There is no boundary set how far we can go to serve the brethren. Let us realize this. Yes, not all of us can do as much. But have we ever thought about ourselves? Have we done the best we could? In Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 14th verse, we read, "For brethren, I have been called into liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Yes, we have been called into liberty, but only to serve one another, to dedicate ourselves in serving one another. There is no law against it, as much as we can. Again, in Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 2nd verse, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Yes, we are under a law, not under the Jewish law, but under the law, like the Apostle Paul names it, the law of Christ, into which we have dedicated ourselves to keep until the end. The Apostle Paul, about himself, he said, "O wretched man that I am," in Romans, the 7th chapter, the 24th and 25th verse. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." We are not perfect. No. We have to fight what is called in the Bible the good fight of faith. It is because of our imperfections, of our weaknesses, that we are to fight right along unto the end. The Apostle Paul called himself all the great man that he was. And all of us can say, yes, the same applies to us also. The Apostle Paul in Galatians, the 5th chapter, in the 22nd verse, we read, "But The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now the Apostle Paul gives us also, brethren, an advice by example. In 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 13th verse, he says, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." Now the Lord showed us his will, revealed us that there is no sin in whatever we eat, provided we examine it to make sure it agrees with our system and to keep our health going. But as far as sin is concerned, there is no such thing according to the Scriptures. We're not under the law. But the Apostle Paul says, it's a good illustration, really, we're not bothered anymore with this thought of meat being that offered to the idols, whether we eat it or not. But he says, "I will not eat meat as long as the world standeth, if I make my brother to offend." We are therefore, brethren, free. Yes, we are free only to do good. There is no limit, there is no law. When we seek the interest of one another and seek to do whatever we can in helping one another to make our calling an election sure. But we are not free to go any place where we think by going will not hurt us. Because we know we're strong in the Lord and nothing at all can shake us. But let us think, brethren, if one of the brethren see us going there, what they will think and what they will do. They may follow us and go a few steps farther than we will want to go, than we have gone, by setting a bad example. It is therefore freedom, yes, but only to be exercised according to the Lord's will. Therefore, the Lord Jesus in Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 12th verse, "Therefore, all things whatsoever you will that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." And finally, in closing, I'd like to, brethren, read the words of our Lord and Jesus. Yes, we are free only to be enslaved, shall we say, or accept the servitude of another. Our Lord Jesus in Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 29th and 30th verses, a well-known verse to all of us, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest into your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Yes, brethren, we are under the yoke of our Lord. We have willfully committed ourselves to it. Let us abide by it and be faithful until the end. May the Lord let us bless you.